Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Now this proverb says this: hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Now, deferred hope. Hope deferred. Something that you have to wait for. Something you're hoping for, and the longer you have to wait, the harder it is to wait. And the deferral makes the heart sick. And then when the desire, the thing you've hoped for, finally comes, the coming of that desire is like a tree of life. It brings back the person from the sick heart now to absolutely rejoice in what you get. Okay? Now the way to illustrate this verse would be something like a mother. A mother who receives word that her son is missing in action, for instance. Oh, I'll tell you right there, that'll make your heart sick. Now, there's no certainty in the report that the young soldier is dead. He's just missing in action. So what does she do? She has hope. She has hope that her son is okay. And her hope that he is alive is there, but it's not a certainty. And so she's heartsick, worried, concerned. She has to wait for him. And during that wait, her heart gets sick. Now, if he's simply missing and not dead, then when she hears that he is alive and returning home, she gets her desire. And the coming home of her son, the desire that she had hoped for, causes a surge of joy that revitalizes her like a tree of life. Now that's the illustration. That's a way for you and I to understand it in a parable form. The same could be true of a wife whose husband had to be gone into a military engagement, a tour, for a period of time. And just that waiting, that uncertainty, is he going to be all right? I mean, tell you, that'll make that heart sick. Lots of wives, lots of mothers, very, very excited when their sons make it back after going to war. Now, for us as Christians, this verse has a very direct application to our waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. And after all, that's what we're supposed to be doing right now, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Paul even says that to the Corinthians, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, so that you come behind in no gift, watch it, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be our supreme desire, our supreme hope. It ought to consume our thoughts. It ought to consume our meditations. It ought to consume our praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I fear that, or I suspect, I'm not afraid of it, but I suspect that really and truly what's happened is that a lot of Christians now are hoping for other things that have taken a preeminence over our hope for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can remember when I first got going for the Lord, when I realized, man, I can't waste this time that being a saved person. I've got to do something for Jesus Christ. And I remember that. I started listening to a lot of sermons. And one particular preacher would preach and preached a lot about Jesus coming back. And I'm telling you, that stirred me up more than anything else. And it became the preeminent desire of my life to wait for his return. I don't mean wait idly, because he told us, occupy till I come. But I mean looking for him more than for anything else. You know, Paul even told us in the Bible, Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that there is a crown awaiting any person who loves the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything else. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, right after he said, you know, I've kept the faith, I've fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So that's what we are to love. And there's a crown, there's a reward for waiting for and looking for and loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you a funny story, but it's a true story, and it's one that affects a lot of people. After my wife got saved, and then she was pregnant, she had heard, obviously, that Jesus Christ was coming back. We were getting excited about that. And then she said to me, in all honesty, she wanted the Lord to wait at least until the child was born so she could see it. You know, I understand that, because now her body is affected by the pregnancy, and she wants to see, you see, that thing that's in there, the child. Man, I understand that. And there are other things like that that are precious to us that can actually take our heart's desire and become preeminent. Some people are involved in some sort of a business deal, and they want to see the thing completed. Some are just about to graduate from school. They want to get out of school. If something that's right there in front of them to say, just, you know, if the Lord would wait just a little bit long. I remember one time I went to a wedding. I was in one recently, and the fellow was about to marry, and, you know, we were praying, and somebody prayed something about the Lord coming back, and he said, you know, Lord, I really do want to see you, but I sure wish you'd wait 24 hours, because he was getting ready to get married and go on his honeymoon. Well, you see, you understand those things. But you know something? Truthfully, more than the birth of the child, more than the honeymoon, more than anything on this earth, we should desire to see the one person who loved us so much that he willingly died on the cross to save our souls. If it hadn't been for him, we'd never see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, except as somebody who feared his return and somebody who knew that judgment imminently would throw us into the fires of hell. We have so much to be thankful for. So thankful the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. All right, that ought to be our preeminent hope. Always remember to be thinking of that more than anything else. Now, this text here says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And you know something? We have to wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to look for his appearing. Paul, poor thing, he died, never got to see him. Not in his appearing. He's our hope. He is the hope deferred that should make our heart sick because we haven't seen him yet. That's from Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that sounds like a man who really wanted to see him. And Paul did. He is our blessed hope. You may be familiar with a church called Blessed Hope. I know one, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, or Hope Baptist Church, or New Hope Baptist Church. Something like that. You know what that is? That's about that hope of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have. He is our hope. He is the one for whom we are looking and the one to whom we need to be looking. And when Jesus Christ comes, we are going to realize, as Christians, the ultimate completion of our salvation. You see, we're still waiting on something. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You're saved. At least that's our desire, that you're saved, and you know you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, perhaps you're not saved, and you need to get saved. That our desire is to see that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only person in this universe that can save you. Religion can't do it. Good works can't do it. Prayers can't do it. We were visiting last night with a sweet, sweet lady, a very religious person, and in talking with her about the gospel, we could barely make any progress with her concerning Jesus Christ and her need to receive him, because she was self-righteous. She said, I pray four times a day, and I go to the hospitals to visit the sick, and I go to church regularly and things like that. And I was thinking, this is a sad situation, because up to this point, she is depending upon everything that she can do for the Lord to save her, and she's not depending upon what Jesus Christ has done for her. That's a sad situation. She's not saved yet. All right, she needs to be saved, and we want you to be saved if you're not. But if you are saved and you know you're saved, your salvation is not complete. I mean, it's complete in the sense that you're going to go to heaven when you die and you have eternal life, but it's not complete in the sense that you still have a body that sins. You still have a body that is going to die should the Lord tarry. And when salvation is completed, you're going to have a body that never sins, never dies, never sorrows, and never gets sick. You're going to have a body that is redeemed like your soul is redeemed. And that's our hope. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus Christ is our hope, but then also, not only is Jesus Christ our hope, but also what he brings us is our hope. It's the completion of our salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. The Bible says, "For we know," now see, as a Christian, we know some things. "We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Now notice what he said there. We're saved by hope. What are we hoping for? We're hoping for the adoption, the redemption of our body. One that never suffers pain. One that never sins. One that never dies. One that never sorrows. And we get that when Jesus Christ comes back. So he is our hope, and what he brings is our hope. Listen, all of creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The pain of creation causes creation to look for the new heavens and the new earth when everything is regenerated, even for the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ when we're in the time of his regeneration. That's what creation is looking for, and we should be looking for the same thing. You know, frankly, when I think about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the radical change through which this earth is going to go when he sits on his throne to rule, honestly, I cannot wait. It makes my heart sick because I know how good it's going to be based upon what the Bible says, but we don't get to enjoy that goodness now. We only get to think about it. I'm heartsick. I want to see it. I know we're going to, but I want it now, see? It's that patience thing that's always tough. So as Christians, this verse has a very direct application to our waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our hope, and what we get is our hope of the redemption of our body. Now, we get that, as our text says, when our desire cometh. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Well, you know something? Jesus Christ is the desire. He is the desire of all nations. That's what we're looking for. Haggai chapter 2. You say, well, that's not one that I go to very often. No, but it's right between Zephaniah and Zechariah. It's the third to the last book in your Old Testament. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, here's what the Lord says. He says, "I will shake the nations, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." He's the desire of all nations. Now, they don't know that right now, but they will, because listen, if every nation actually desired the Lord Jesus Christ and allowed him to rule without all this warfare and fighting and faction, then you know something? Everything they ever wanted they would have, but they don't believe they're going to get it in Jesus Christ. They don't want anything to do with him, so it's foolishness, but he is the desire of all nations. And you know something? The Bible says when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life, and he is our life. John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So for us as Christians, this verse doctrinally could be applied to the deferral of our hope, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption of our body, making us heartsick till he gets here. And when he comes, that's going to be a tree of life. We will actually still have eternal life, but we will enjoy it now to its fullest. You know something else? This verse can be applied doctrinally also to Israel. For Israel, their hope is the coming of their Messiah. Now, they don't realize that their Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. We do as Bible believers, but they don't. Their hope is the coming of their Messiah. And even if you look in the Old Testament, you'll find references. I'm not going to show you all of them, but I'll show you a few of them. you'll find references to the hope of Israel. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." See, their hope is in a man. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Do you know when Israel is going to be redeemed from all of his iniquities? Well, according to Jeremiah chapter 31 and Hebrews chapter 8, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." What is that then? That is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Israel is to hope in the Lord. Now let's go to the book of Joel. So you've got Ezekiel, Daniel, and then you've got Hosea, and then you've got Joel. Joel chapter 3 and verse 16. Joel is a book that is all about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and events leading right up to it, like the tribulation and Armageddon and things like that. All right, in Joel chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "The Lord also..." Now, you know, you're reading a book in the context of which is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem." Well, then that means he's back here on the earth. "And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." So, like us, Israel's hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who they should be longing for. The Bible says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Jerusalem is going to have its peace when their Messiah comes and sits on the throne. Our prayer should be, in addition to that, then, that they would receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Now, when Jesus Christ comes, then all of the dead Jews, that is, those that were laid in the graves, who were saved, all of the saved of Israel who have been buried in graves are going to rise at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've handled this passage many times in our studies, and so for some of you it's going to be very, very familiar, but you might be listening now for the first time or have only listened for a little while and have not heard this passage. Ezekiel 37 is about the national resurrection of Israel, of those that are saved. And it's also the prophecy of the dry bones, the valley of the dry bones. So Ezekiel is to prophesy to the valley of dry bones, and when he does, sinews and flesh cover the skin, and then they're covered with skin. Breath goes into them, and they live, and stand upon their feet an exceeding great army. That's all Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10. And then verse 11, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope..." That's what we're studying. The hope deferred. "Our hope is lost." Why? They didn't think they'd stand a chance. Man, the way this thing is coming down, the armies of the world are going to surround Jerusalem and try to wipe out the Jews. And when they see that before the coming of the Lord, they're going to say, "Our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore, the Lord said, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." So when he remembers their iniquities no more, he also allows them to have the land grant that was given to them through their father Abraham and to him by God in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. It defines the boundaries of the land that the Jews are going to inhabit. And let me tell you, it's a lot more than they have right now. As a matter of fact, when Paul was preaching, you know, he got caught. In prison, because he went down there to Jerusalem against the Holy Spirit's direct will. And when he did, he had to get out of hot water, and he started preaching to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees the resurrection of Israel. The Sadducees didn't believe in it, but the Pharisees did. And he said to them in Acts chapter 23, verse 6, when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead I'm called in question. You know what he was referring to? He was referring to Ezekiel 37. The hope of Israel is the resurrection of the house of Israel, the valley of dry bones. You know what? When they said back then, our hope is lost, Paul said, you hadn't lost hope. The reason I'm locked up is because I'm preaching about that resurrection. You still don't want it. Look what he says. Look what he says in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verse 20. So you'll understand that the resurrection that he was preaching, that hope that he was preaching for Israel, is in fact that resurrection. He says in Acts chapter 28, verse 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. So the hope of Israel is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, like it is for us, and the hope of Israel is they're rising from their graves to go in and inhabit the land that was given to Abraham by God Almighty and take their land grant while their enemies are destroyed. You know, right now there's all kinds of fighting going on against Hezbollah, and that's going to continue. And then Iran, and that's going to continue. And the PLO, and that's going to continue. And all that stuff. And you know what? When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, he destroys the enemies of the Jews to the extent that they don't want to fight anymore. They say, you know what? We've had enough. We're done. We're finished. That's what the Lord's going to do. And that is the hope of Israel. And when he, the desire of all nations, Jesus Christ, cometh, like our text says, when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And do you know something? When Jesus Christ comes, there literally will be a tree of life on this earth. Literally. Now, that confuses some Bible expositors because they don't know what to do with one of the references to the tree of life in the book of Revelation, but let me show it to you. It's in Revelation chapter 2 is the first one. This one doesn't confuse the expositors. It's the last one in the book of Revelation. But look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord is addressing a church in the tribulation, and he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, Revelation 2, 7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Well, the tree of life is not on the earth right now. It isn't. It's with God right now. But when Jesus Christ returns and when this church has overcome, the tree of life will be planted along a river that comes out of Jerusalem, and those folks will eat of that tree the same way that Adam and Eve would have eaten from the tree of life to continue their perpetual life. And it'll be in the midst of the paradise of God, which isn't here right now. Look again in Revelation chapter 22 to see when it will be here. Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse 2. Revelation chapter 22 and look at verse 2. The Bible says, well, verse 1 for the context. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now notice in verse 14, there's another reference to the tree of life, and it says this, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You know what the strange thing is? Bible expositors see that and they say, well, you don't have to keep the commandments in order to be saved. And so they change this verse until it doesn't look anything like what it does right now. And you know what? The verse doesn't need to be changed, because during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, his thousand-year reign on this earth, there are people that will be alive here during that time that will have to keep his commandments. And when they do, that gives them the right to the tree of life. If they don't, they don't get to eat of that tree of life. Like when Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord. God said, I'm going to cut them off from the tree of life. And so he kicked them out of the garden and put a cherubim there so they couldn't get to that tree. They disobeyed him, and just like Adam and Eve, if somebody disobeys him during the thousand-year reign, they won't get to eat the tree of life. That Bible says then, when the desire cometh, that's our text, Proverbs 13:12. When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Literally, when Jesus Christ comes, there will be a tree of life, and there will be nations that will partake of that tree. Look in Ezekiel chapter 47, and you'll see that. Ezekiel chapter 47 and look at verse 12. Now, I'll tell you, the Bible is an incredible book. Sometimes in Proverbs you get something like this verse that's very doctrinal, and sometimes you get stuff that's just very, very practical. In this case, it is practical. If you're hoping for something you don't have right now and you're heartsick about it, that's only natural. When what you're hoping for comes, then things will be fine. It'll be just like a tree of life. For us as Christians, waiting for and hoping for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're right to do that. We have a certainty of His return, but it makes us heartsick to see Him. And when He does finally come to us, that will be like a tree of life, because we will have the redemption of our body. And we'll enjoy the eternal life that we have forever, both physically and spiritually. And for Israel, the poor nation of Israel, when I say poor because they still haven't recognized Jesus Christ as their Messiah, if they would, that is their hope. That is their hope. And when He comes, there will be literally a tree of life. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. We're right in the middle of a context, but it says, "And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." Revelation 22 said, "For the healing of the nations." So there's the tree of life. And the nations will eat of that fruit. That's why there's 12 manner of fruit, each fruit bearing in its own month, because each of the time, each nation will have its fruit. Apparently, there'll be 12 major nations during the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one will have its fruit. And each can come to the tree for the leaves, for healing, anytime there's any type of thing that for which they need healing. So I'll tell you what, the solution to then the problems we have, the solution to the problem that we have internationally, is nothing more or nothing less than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like John said when he wrapped up his book there, the book of Revelation, he said, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." And I'm telling you, I'm right with him all the way, all the way, all the way.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.